morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 58 minutes. 45 of those wonderful minutes, I've got somebody that I have to just tell you. I'm going to be very candid and transparent. I hate that word, but I'm going to use it. Transparent. Congressman Richard Neal, I have known him for a very, very long time. And I long before he was a congressman. He was a teacher, city of Springfield, mayor. The one thing, and I worked on Capitol Hill for a while. The one thing that I will say about Congressman Neal, and I'll say it to anybody, anytime, anywhere, he never forgot where he came from.
Thank you.
And this malarkey, and that's he and I understand that word, malarkey, about doing away with Social Security, Congressman Neal, if it was his last breath, he'll be defending Social Security. So I know there's a lot of loose lips sink ships kind of talk out there, and it's not true. I will put my reputation. Well, no, let me do this. I'll put his reputation on it. My reputation is bad enough. But Congressman Neal, welcome. And thank you for coming on this humble show.
Glad to be with you, Bill. And I'm delighted that you led off with Social Security. When Mr. Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act in 1935, it was an act of genius.
Yes.
And understanding the first check might not arrive right away. But to this day, it's the most efficient retirement plan in America and the greatest anti-poverty program perhaps in the history of the world.
Yes.
Social Security works on the basis of the fact that when we're young, we might have to pull the wagon. Because when we're older, we might have to sit in the wagon.
Yeah.
It's a generational contract. It has never missed one check to one person. And the other part of it is that I'm my own best example. Because I don't know what we would have done without Social Security in my own home. And my grandmother and my aunt, I don't know what they would have done without survivor benefits and helping to raise us.
Yeah.
And I think that at the time when Roosevelt inaugurated Social Security, people thought it was communism and it was, you know, coercive retirement savings. No, it was really something that was plausible, workable, and successful. And then in 1965, as you recall, Lyndon Johnson, he signed an amendment to Social Security called Medicare. And they have been seismic
in
their result. I mean, the number of people in America that depend upon Social Security is remarkable. But here's something that I think your viewers and listeners might want to entertain. The average Social Security benefit, average, is about $19,000 a year.
Right.
That's all. So that means that half the people who receive Social Security receive less than $19,000 a year.
Yeah.
So we're talking about $400 a week in some of those instances. And I think that it's a reminder that a pension, Social Security, and some savings can make retirement a lot more comfortable than it is for those who don't have a retirement plan.
I think back, my mom was a nurse, never made a lot of nurses back then, didn't make a lot of money, but that Social Security was a buffer. And the only thing that I would ask with that is veterans who are 100% disabled still pay tax on their Social Security.
Right.
And to me, that's incongruous, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I would now's probably not the time to say, boy, would it be nice to get some legislation to say, sure, if you are 100% disabled, why is your Social Security?
Yeah. And I would be supportive of that.
I know you would. Yeah.
That part of that Social Security initiative that you just mentioned, that came about in the agreement that Ronald Reagan made with Speaker O'Neill. Taxing benefits. And in addition to it, in my own instance, I was able to go to college based on those survivor benefits.
Yeah.
Until you were 22. It was pretty darn good. But the other part of that that happened with the agreement that President Reagan and Speaker O'Neill made, that was eliminated after high school.
Oh.
So that was a substantial change as well. Now, I think that we're still going to have to do some repair work to Social Security eventually.
Yeah.
But you and I know right now what the answer is going to be. We're going to raise the earnings cap. That's the answer.
Yeah.
The earnings cap simply is that wealthier people are going to have to pay more.
Wow. What a tragedy. I mean, you know, I understand. Listen, I understand people who work hard and make a lot of money. God love them. But they need to think, maybe it's my old Catholic grammar school upbringing. You got to share the wealth kind of thing.
Share the wealth. And here's the other part of Social Security. It's the generational contract that I mentioned.
Right.
And young people will say to me, well, I don't know if it's going to be there. Yes, it is. And I will also, then I usually retort to them by saying, well, you better hope it is, because the reason mom and dad are not living in your attic is Social Security or Medicare.
Yeah.
And never to miss that point. I mean, it gives people a sense of independence. And one of the reasons that I've been so aggressive about Social Security has been that everybody has to play.
Everybody.
And wealthy people, they get Social Security.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know why? Because if we let them out of Social Security, when they say things like, well, you know, I'm not going to take the benefit because I've got enough. The problem with that argument is that Social Security then could become a poverty program.
Right.
Oh, and if it becomes a poverty program, it loses its natural constituency. The fact that we're all in it.
We're all in it.
And we all benefit from it means it works.
You know, you're right. I never thought about it that way. I think you could have a brilliant career in politics. Really, if this new gig doesn't work out for you. Listen,
well, it's like Medicare. Let me just mention Medicare
because
I think that Medicare is like Social Security. They're earned benefits. People paid in.
Yeah.
And with Medicare, it's the only retirement system, I believe, in the world that assumes you retire at 65.
Yeah.
Because at 65, you get the benefit.
Yeah.
Nobody says to you, well, we want to know if you're a Democrat or a Republican, a socialist or a libertarian. No questions are asked. If you've kicked in, you get the benefit. And it's changed lives for the better.
Oh, sure. And you know, I have to just reminisce this story, share with you. I don't want to take your time, but I have, when Spectrum raised their situation to $7 for the whatever boxes you have in your house, they had a public offering or public hearing. And this old lady stood up and she, I'm sure she was a survivor of the woolen mills or, you know, one of the old, she was, old, I mean, I'm ancient. She was older than me. And so she said, you know, $7 may not seem like a lot to you, but to me, it's a copay for medicines.
Yep.
$7 in my groceries. It's $7 that lets me go, maybe go out to eat. And, you know, I sat there saying, do you expect, you really need that $7? You know, why don't you have a cutoff? People who are retired, something. Anyhow, I don't want to take you. Hey, listen, the other thing I want to do, and because I had some research done for me on you, and I found out all you have done in the past, like, few years, not your whole career, because it's only a 50-minute show. Thank you for the PAC Act. I've said this on air. I will say it. Other veterans that I have spoken with, we can't thank you enough, especially Vietnam, because you know how they stepped on us when we came back.
Yep.
You stepped up to the plate. They're finally living up to these toxin exposures. You know my situation.
Yeah.
But then you other things I thought, well, the Holyoke Veterans Home, I mean, you're in constant communication with Secretary McDonough.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, so I hear. Yeah. And then the Veterans Mental Health and Crisis Lines, you funded that to the tune of $6.2 billion in healthcare and I mean suicide prevention outreach. I want veterans to know all the Congressman Neal has done for us. You know, he's done a lot for a lot of people throughout the district and throughout the nation. Because as when he was, he's still the ranking member on the Ways and Means Committee. Well, he was the chairperson of the Ways and Means Committee. Veterans housing, you've done that. That the it's in medical and prosthetic research. I just can't say enough, and thank you for that. And I think veterans and all people, veteran spouses, veterans moms and dads, everybody needs to know. That you were in the veterans' corner. You've
You
been in
earned it.
our corner forever.
You earned it. Those of you as veterans, and I participated a week ago Sunday in the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Ceremony we have every year in Springfield in mid-April. And you're reminded about what age does at the event.
Oh, yeah.
Many of my friends, you know, that went to high school with me and others, they have canes and they have walkers. And they, some are in those little motorized
Yeah.
vehicles, but they show up faithfully and they're very proud of what they did, and they should be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, they take great pride in what they did.
Yeah.
And it's nice just to be part of it, to witness it. And I don't know about other communities, but every single year
Yeah.
they've done it. And it's remarkable that they gather the way that they do.
And we do it here in Pittsfield. We do it at Park Square. We have our own little stone there, a monument. It's a stone. But what I also have noticed, there's fewer and fewer every year.
Yeah, no question.
But what you've been down in D.C. Anything going on down there? Just
Oh,
checking.
so
I don't know. I
yeah.
don't know.
What's interesting is that this is, I know the show's nonpartisan, but I must say, there's not a lot of time for us to be in a battle with the other side because they're in a battle with each other. I mean, it's like a civil war between all of them on the other side.
It's kind of discouraging. I'm an independent now, and yes, I agree with you. I do think right now, I guess my best advice to them is you should come together because we're in a bad way right now. We can't be showing our enemies that we're falling apart inside. You're a historian guy. I got to share this with you. It just jumped into my mind because I'm senile now. And they know. Did Jack give you the message, right? He said, you're going to be a little late. I said, I don't care. I don't take my, four I'm retired and I don't take my 4 o'clock nap till 4 o'clock. Did you know, I always was taught, and I'm sure you were, that Lincoln made the comment, we'll never fall, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, the United States will never fall from without, it will fall from within.
No.
Well,
That's what the, that's
I'm
where his line
checking.
came from. Yeah, that's where his line came from at Gettysburg, where
But
a
they're
house
saying
divided,
no.
a house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
And I think that when you look at what happened over the weekend, the Saturday session in Congress, I'm pleased with the outcome.
Yeah.
But I also, since you mentioned the historic reference there, Ronald Reagan's career was made on standing up to Russia.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Reagan who took that hard line with NATO about Russian expansionism. Stood at the Berlin Wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Negotiated with Gorbachev, contributed to the demise of the old Soviet Union. And I am stunned that you now have some Republicans, and I say this not as a partisan,
Right.
but every Democrat in the House voted for the Ukraine bill. Less than half of the Republicans voted for it. And I wonder if they're missing the history of what American determination did, and you were part of it, after World War II with NATO, Korea, Vietnam. You stood up.
Yeah.
And my point is that anybody who thinks after Putin has seized Crimea, wants to seize Ukraine, that
Yeah.
he's going to stop there. If you talk to people from Estonia, Lithuania, or Latvia, because they have large Russian-speaking populations, they're scared to death of what's next. And, you know, Russia has an economy that is smaller than California. The only thing they have is the military. And my point is that I think that by voting for that aid to Ukraine, we recognize the gallantry of those Ukrainians.
Yeah.
And they are, so far, they've pretty much held the Russians to a stalemate. And I think with this aid and NATO's support, they can regain that ground and make Putin negotiate.
Yeah, and the another country, because I like to keep a wider view of the world, and I watch the BBC, I watch I-24, you know, Poland.
Yes.
Poland, you know, the Polish princess and I were in Poland a few years back, and I'd love to go back. And this lady said to us, and I'll never forget it, Congressman, never forget it. Beautiful little old lady. She walked us to the post office. She wouldn't tell us where it was. She walked us to the post office. She figured her Americans are not so bright. They'll never find it. But she said, we only have two enemies in the world. And I said, really, who are they? Russia and Germany.
Yeah, on and either
she,
side.
You know what? Going back through history, who's been their enemies? You know, and I think they're deathly afraid now.
Well, I'm glad you raised that because let us never forget the heroism of the Polish people.
Oh.
I have Lech Walesa's picture on my wall in Washington.
Yes. Wow.
There's an electrician from Gdansk who said, enough's enough. And when you consider Cardinal Glemp, and you consider Lech Walesa, and you look at what happened
John
there,
Paul.
That's
John
exactly
Paul.
Right. And there was a young priest named Jerzy Papaszewski.
Yes.
And he was leading the civil rights movements, and he was brutally murdered. And his body was thrown on the road on the wayside. And it galvanized the Polish people. So they were the ones that first saw the crack in the Soviet Union. I actually met Jaruzelski.
Wow.
And I remember him trying to explain to us the reason he called out the Polish army on his own people. He said was because he was afraid of what the Russian army would do if they came in. I'm not sure I buy his argument.
Right.
I think it was revisionist, but never to miss the point that the courage of the Poles in standing up to the Soviet Union at the time, unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think I'm discouraged. I'm despondent. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm all of those things. When I hear these riots in the colleges and the universities in this country, tearing down this country.
Mm-hmm.
This country has stood up for people all over history since its inception, just about. And to paint us with this awful brush, we're not that, like you just said, Israel got money. Taiwan got money. The Ukraine got money. And I tell you, as an old, and I admit it, I'm an old man, and I won't tell you who, but a legislator one time, a state legislator, called me a grumpy old man.
Uh-huh.
And I took that as a compliment.
You know? What did you say? Thank you very much?
Yeah, I did. I said, thanks. You know, you've nailed me. People say, you know, how are you? And I said, well, I'm old, fat, and bald, but I'm still here.
Yeah.
Your
point is, I have no challenge or problem with free speech.
No, me either.
Exercise it. But I do think we can draw the line when free speech interferes and becomes aggressive behavior that stops others from carrying out their responsibilities, duties, or what they would like to do.
Yeah.
Example, I mean, I understand the turmoil now that has beset many of these campuses. But I also would say this. It's one thing to exercise your opinion, to offer it, to march, right? But I don't think shutting down the university is part of free speech.
Or a bridge, or a road, or an airport.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I you know, I've been there, done that. You know, we lived it. It's real to us, Vietnam veterans, because we were the victims of it.
Right.
We were the and then we'll move on. We were being marched to our gates when I came home in the Seattle airport, and two MPs were marching us, dropping us off along the way down a concourse. And this guy hurled a big gulp Coke.
Oh, geez.
And he hit me in my uniform. And, you know, I'll never forget that, you know, but we'll move on. Hey, listen, so all kidding aside, I know you've been busy down there. What's your feeling about the immigrant crisis?
Well, I mean, you and I have the same experience. I have immigrant grandparents.
Me too.
And I think that immigration is really important to America. I think that our birth rates right now have become very low, 1.8 children per family. And I know biologically that's impossible, but it means
my mother thought I was the eight. My older brother and sister were, you know, supreme beings, and I was the 0.8. So
there you go. But I think that the country needs a steady stream of immigrants, but we need a process.
We do.
You can't have a million people a year walking across the border and you not knowing anything about them. So we have 11 million people who are in America and they are undocumented. They have changed the meatpacking houses of the Midwest.
Yeah.
They've contributed billions of dollars to the Social Security Trust Fund, which they are never going to derive the benefit, by the way, because they've used false Social Security cards.
Right.
And we need them. But we also simultaneously need the process that your grandparents and my grandparents used to come into the country.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of the fact that at the Statue of Liberty on Liberty Island, that my grandmother's name is there. I remember there was this fund that was proposed, and for $100, you could have a name added to that
money
wall.
Then.
That's right.
That was huge money.
When the Statue of Liberty was refurbished, and I said, you know what?
Yeah.
For all she meant to all of us,
yeah,
$100 is pretty good to have her name on that wall.
That's right.
And I couldn't afford anybody else's, so I did hers. But my point is that I worry that if we're not careful, it's going to breach national security, and then the argument's going to be really ugly.
I'm afraid so, my friend.
Really ugly. So my suggestion is that we need a compromise. I was okay with the bill that came from the Senate. I thought that made sense until Trump said, don't do this, it'll hurt my prospects of getting elected. So the House Republicans never took it up, even though the Senate Republicans passed it with Democratic help. It was decent legislation.
The story is a little kid, you know. Well, in my grandparents' house, all heavy discussions were done around the kitchen table,
right,
with a cup of tea and some toast. Tea.
Yep.
And the story of when they were coming down in Ellis Island, excuse me, my auntie coughed. They put her right back on the boat. They were so deathly afraid of tuberculosis. Took her six more years to get here.
That's how they were treated. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but to build a little bit on my background, I concur 100%. I'm worried about the national security implications. Even the gotaways now, you can't get a good number. I mean, but the gotaways, they scare me, because the other people who are coming here, I think, let me do this so we both don't end up in jail. The views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, the Pittsfield School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, and or the people who are trying to ice fish on the lake where there's no ice. There's guys that they stand there waiting for it to freeze over again. But the but seriously, the gotaways, why wouldn't you surrender? They're going to give you a cell phone. They're going to process you. They have, in my opinion, they have motives that aren't conducive to the United States.
Well, we need to process that.
Right.
We need to have them interviewed as everybody else has been. And you can find out destinations. You
That's
can find
right.
out where they're going. You can find out who their relatives are, which is fine. I just think that the idea that you can have just the huge numbers of people walking over the border, I mean, to keep a nation, you have to have border security. So when I would hear these arguments about get rid of ICE and all of that, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We need border security. And I think that the American family is used to immigration, not nearly as hostile to it as people say.
No.
We're very open to immigration. We just want a process.
You nailed it. There it is. You nailed it. You nailed it. They we're all immigrants.
Right.
We're all, everybody, you know, I love these people who are anti-immigrant. And you say, well, how many generations of your family been here? Oh, my grandfather came. From where? Well, you know, somewhere. But, it, you know, you another point, and I want people to understand this, too. Because too often, all of us get painted with the same brush.
Yeah.
And Congressman Neal, I don't believe has ever been for card-carrying, whatever, flag-waving, to do away with the police or cut police budgets.
Exactly right.
He was the mayor. So maybe that's why he's got that mayor's still seed in him saying, oh, man, I ran to the city of Spring. What'd I do without my cops?
I had 600 cops when I was mayor. And I got to tell you, no matter what happens in a big organization, you're going to have a couple that were problematic. But I got to tell you something. Most of those folks when I was mayor were World War II vets, Korean vets, or Vietnam vets. And they saw putting on that uniform every day as an honor.
That's right.
And they conducted themselves as such. I thought that argument about defunding the police was nutty. We can all push for better policing. That's for sure. But this idea that you were hearing people say, take the money away from police departments, you know, when you look at the reputational value of a city, much of it is based upon the perception that people have of security.
Right.
If you're taking your grandchildren or your children, or you're going to a Broadway show in Midtown Manhattan, you want some sense of security.
Yeah.
And when I see those police men and women, and I know the ones in Springfield, I say to myself, we're lucky to have a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me throw a name out from your past and my past. The guy who was the commandant when I was in the police academy is a cadet. And someone I just admire to this day, learned so much from him. He was, at that point, Sergeant Thomas Fitzgerald.
Sure.
And he rose in the ranks to be chief.
I appointed him.
Yeah, what a guy.
He was a wonderful guy. He still is. He lives over in East Forest Park.
Okay.
I bump into him once in a while. A really, really nice guy. Great cop. And
super cop. Great instructor.
And he was very loyal to the police department. And I'll say something else about him. He was very sensitive to the rights of victims.
Yes, he was.
He really cared about victims. And he thought their voices needed to be heard, too. And he wasn't a mean guy. He was very, very nice.
And he also sensitized us.
Yep.
When I say us, I mean my class.
Mm-hmm.
Sensitized us that, yes, they're criminals, but they're still people.
Right.
You know, and I've hopefully carried that throughout my career.
Right.
That, yeah, You know, I used to get upset when, the people would label them, oh, he's no good. Then I ran a violent youthful offender program, and found out they are good, but they've never been given a chance.
There's a lot of wonderful kids with a second chance. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that we take a risk, but at the same time, if we stay with it, we were also raised in a certain tradition.
Right.
And the tradition was that you got a second chance.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. This is Congressman Richard Neal. He comes on this program monthly. I will tell you this, he doesn't have to. And it's an honor to us that one, he's always in the Berkshires. He's here a lot. I can't thank him enough for coming on the program, but also all he does for us here in the Berkshires. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. That good-looking guy is not me. That's Congressman Richard Neal. And he's on this program to bring us up to date. If you missed the first half, you can download it. It's on PCTV. Just go there and you can watch it. I'm going to have it put up on my TV show, Discussions from the Berkshires. But we talked about what the congressman has done for veterans in the last 4 years, 5 years. But he's been doing it since he's been in Congress.
For sure.
He's just, and we were talking about immigration and what it means, and he agrees with me, and I'm sure with you, with the process. We need a process.
We need a process.
We need a process. And now, another thing, the wonderful thing that he has done for this community as a whole, this county, is he was supportive of two things. The North Adams Regional Hospital is reopened. And he's also in favor of West East Rail. Mm-hmm. And those are two big things for the future of this county in this part of Massachusetts.
Well, I want to congratulate the people of Northern Berkshire County because they never lost faith. And 10 years to the day in which the hospital had been closed, we reopened it.
Yeah.
And full service. I think that we were able to use some language changes in the law. And it helps when the woman, Chiquita LaSure, who runs what is known as the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, she worked with my staff. And we were able to come up with some language that recognized how difficult it is on a winter day to get from North Adams to Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And in changing that language and mileage requirements, we got it done. And I want to tell you that the optimism in the air from that crowd was just remarkable. Yep. People identify a hospital the way they identify the high school they graduated from, the way they identify the park they played in. These are markers in their lives. And, people don't go to the hospital to hang around. They go to the hospital because they know they've had some difficult moments. And just that bursting sense of pride they felt in that hospital.
Yeah.
I was really pleased. And I want to say that we made a community effort out of it, but nobody thought 10 years ago that was ever going to reopen, and it did.
Yeah, you need to take Congressman Neal's also. He gives credit to everybody else, but if it wasn't for him in there swinging the bat at the plate, we probably would not have hit that ball called North Adams Regional Hospital.
Yeah, and on the I feel very gratified by your description. And now my quest obviously is West East Rail, East West, yeah. West East. Springfield, because of its geography, is at the center of New England.
Right, right.
So North-South Rail right now is working very well as we've refurbished it with COVID money. It is not only reached its pre-COVID ridership capacity, it's exceeded it. So the number of people that are traveling from Hampden County to New York City is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get off in New Haven, take the transfer, then you move on to the city. Reasonable cost. And now our quest is to improve rail from Boston to Worcester to Springfield to Pittsfield and on to Albany.
On Albany, exactly. Yep.
So we had a pretty good get-together yesterday. A couple of days ago. We had a really good get-together. And Representative Pignatelli was there. And Trish Farley Bouvier was there. And they made their case. The two of them are really good advocates.
Right. And
they made the case, obviously, for Pittsfield. We're putting money in to the Pittsfield rail stop now. Palmer as well.
Yep.
But I think that this would refurbish Western Massachusetts as well as Central Massachusetts. Rail works very well from Boston to Worcester.
Yes.
But after Worcester, it's pretty bad.
Yep.
So we want to refurbish that rail, which we think that the planning stage for Worcester Springfield, that will commence with some construction beginning this year.
Wow.
And then on the other side, it's going to take a bit longer, but the planning process from Pittsfield to Springfield or from Springfield to Pittsfield, that planning process is underway even as we speak.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to take some time, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's the most important, I think, economic argument from Boston to Worcester to Springfield to Pittsfield.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the people here, you named a couple of them, we're going to be losing, and I mean we, all of us in the Commonwealth, a real hard, great, wonderful representative in Smitty. He's stepping down. He's not going to run for re-election. It's his decision, obviously, but it's going to be a big hole in the delegation because he's a senior guy.
The older we get, I think that temperament is more important perhaps than any other political quality. And in Smitty Pignatelli, he's smart, capable, good listener, honest, but I got to tell you something, perfect temperament.
Yeah.
You never hear him or see him raising his voice. He comes from a distinguished political family.
Very.
And when you meet with him, he is one substantive advocate.
Yes.
He's really, really well groomed, ready to go, knows his stuff when he starts to talk.
Yes. Yes, he does. And he's, he's an advocate.
Yes.
Things, even if they're not necessarily in his district, if it's for the good of the whole county or the good of the whole state, he'll stand up and make the arguments and take this as a compliment. And so do you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you obviously represent the district well, but you represent the state and the country very well.
You want to always, one of the things that I worry about in our current political lexicon, our dialogue or whatever, the conversation, as you want to call it.
I've got another name, but I can't say it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But I worry that today that we immediately shut out anybody that disagrees with us.
Yes.
Where I've always thought, if you want to get a negotiation, listen carefully for maybe that sentence and where they do agree with something you've said, try to build upon it.
Yes.
I mean, the numbers are not going to change dramatically in our political system in the next few years. It's no substitute, however, for good conversation. And I think this atmosphere that we live in about the shutdown, the cancel culture, the book banners. I mean, I always wanted, like you, Bill, you want to be open to new ideas, even if you don't like them.
Yeah.
You know, I read stuff that I know I'm not going to agree with, but I think it helps my argument as I prepare to talk.
Yeah.
And it keeps my mind open for, again, maybe that little sliver that might be noteworthy.
You know, I took a course at the Harvard School of Public Health called Conflict Resolution and Mediation. And that was the whole crux of the course, what you just said.
Yep.
You can't mediate till you hear.
Right.
My mother used to have a saying, God gave you 2 years and one mouth. Think about it.
And she was right.
Yeah. And but, you know, I'm like you, as we kind of launched this program, I'm a little a little discouraged. Why all this vitriol? I was down there. I called it the, you'll appreciate this because you were there, the Gilded Age. No, really. You had Tippett as the speaker, then Jim Wright, and, you know, a follow up to people, right? And Reagan was the president. Yep. Stuff got done. And you know, for those people, and I'm not a politician, obviously my wife told me I'd live in the house in a shed in the back. I was thinking about running for office one time and she said, well, move right back there now. It's unheated and uncooled. You'll be wonderful.
Was there running water?
You never make it. You just tell people what you have no filters.
Yeah.
Seriously, some of the people on both sides need to understand if you don't have the numbers, you're spinning your wheel and wasting the time.
Well, I think today the other problem is that some people prefer the conflict to the solution.
Well, there you go again. Yep. You're exactly right.
Because the conflict draws attention. Sometimes the solution doesn't.
You know, can I go ahead?
No, I worry very much about it because I think that there's a group on social media that they're so busy every moment of every day pumping out outrage.
Yeah.
They can't take a solution.
Well, there's also a group that I can tell you on Wednesday before they announce the Sunday shows, who's going to be on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to tell you, some of the ones that they have on, they're not ones in new legislation. I can tell you that.
Well, and you know, I think, Congressman, if I may say, you have been a successful litigator. And also, you know, they talk about, well, you got to see how the sausage is made. Well, I've seen how the sausage is made. And it's not made by slamming your fist on the table or, you know, calling the other guy. It's made by give and take. Where can we compromise?
Exactly, that's exactly what it is. And it requires great patience.
Yeah, that's another reason I wouldn't have been a politician.
In your own mind, somebody says the nuttiest thing you've ever heard, and you say, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next line.
Yeah. And, you know, as you go back and through your career, and someday... And I would encourage you to do this. You should write like a memoir of your really like an autobiography. You have been involved in some of the biggest, really biggest legislative stuff, budget stuff, war stuff. When I was there, the new people kind of, they didn't defer. Well, defer is probably the right word, to some of the senior folks until they got their feet wet.
That's the way I felt. I went to the Ways and Means Committee when Mr. Rostenkowski was the chairman.
Yeah.
And the guy was only helpful to me. That's all he ever was helpful to me. When I asked to get something done, because I wasn't standing there every day like a know-it-all or somebody who had no patience whatsoever. And I understood that, look, this is going to be arduous. That's the nature of legislating.
Yeah.
And if you're waiting for a quick solution, you better get into another business, because the process of legislating requires great tolerance, great patience, and good hearing capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. What has happened, I don't know. I hope that more people who run for office now, I'll tell you a guy that's kind of surprised me is because I said that, I forgot his name. But he's the senator from Pennsylvania, big guy, wears shorts and everything.
Fetterman.
Thank you. That guy is down the road logical.
Yeah.
He come out today with something. We got to do less talking, more listening.
He's fearless.
Yeah. Well, his size, I'd be fearless too. In the police department, we call him a club case. Get the club. But seriously, Congressman, do you see it ever come? Do you see it going back to what it was, or even a new iteration of it?
Yeah, not in the near future.
Okay.
I think the primary system now, it means that there are people that can win primaries, but they win primaries in red districts or blue districts. So those who take the most extreme positions, they can win a primary. And if they don't have a serious general election opponent, they can win. And the problem is they always have to stay outside of the system, because to compromise means that they would perhaps offend somebody back home.
Yeah.
And I think it's a worrisome trend.
Yeah. Well, here's my in closing. I would like to, first of all, thank you for coming on this program through the years, and always contributing in meaningful stuff. You know, I mean, I have a lot of people on this program, and some of them, and here's my philosophy. When I started, it's informational, educational, a few laughs along the way. And everybody, and I've held this to the best of my ability, to have people on this program that I don't agree with, but right. They have a right to be on this program, and we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable.
Exactly right.
You know, I got to stop quickly by an environmentalist who thanked me for something I did for something that I don't even remember. And I mean, one of the people that are green. And for mentioning an event or something. And I just thought, why not? Will it better the community? That's kind of how I look at it. Will it better? I'm not going to have you on if you're just going to tear everybody down.
That's right. That's good philosophy. And by the way, as we conclude, I need to congratulate you on your award as the Irishman of the Year.
You bet. I'm not
very proud of you.
Well, for Madeline Gertrude McNeese, I was offered up. And yeah, well, thank you so much. I'll send you a picture. They gave me a shillelagh. This is my third shillelagh, but this is the one they gave with a plaque on it. I'll send it down to Jack. And well, thank you for that. It's a great honor. It really is for me, for my parents and my grandparents, and I had the whole McNeese clan there, the ones that are still around, and the ones
that could genes.
Yeah, and I would have invited you, but I figured you're probably in Washington with all the muckety mucks down there, all them. But I thank you for that, and I'm always here for you.
Thank you.
When I get a press release from Jack, I put it on my Facebook.
Thank you.
Pages. But like I said, we got to get some civility. Not you. Yep. This is directed at you. Believe me. God, no. We got to get civility back in government.
I agree.
You know, I look at the speaker. I know he's on the other side of the fence from you. but he seems like a good man.
He wanted to do the right thing over the weekend, for sure.
And he's paying a hell of a price.
Yeah, he's going to pay a tough price for it, yeah.
Yeah, and I would just say to the other side of the fence there, people, learn how the process works.
Yeah.
Learn how to, and I guess, you know, I go along with him. I think we should have more border security. I don't know. I'm not going to speak for the congressman. I think we should.
We all do.
Yeah, but it's you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing.
We should have taken the Senate bill.
And all I know is we're lucky to have you. I mean that. I'll be with Jack for next month. Thank you for North Adams Hospital. Thank you for all you do for the Holyoke, especially the Holyoke Soldiers Home. That is a huge thing to people like me.
It's very important.
And most importantly, the PAC Act.
Yeah.
It's meant a lot. I just got to ask for prayers for a guy who, Vietnam veteran, pacemaker, open heart surgery, all kinds of stuff. And it's just one thing after another, and all of it's attributed to Agent Orange. So
we appreciate everything you did, Bill.
And well, I appreciate you. Yeah, again, if this the political thing doesn't work out for you, I think I can get you a program on WTBR.
I'll be your first guest.
You'll be the host. I'll be your first guest. Say hi to Gene when you see him.
Will do. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you so much. Be well, Congressman. Thank you for everything you do for us. All right, folks, I got a few announcements. Thank you for hanging over, too. This is an interesting thing. City of Pittsfield seeks input for draft, and this is the community block grant, development block grant. They're going to have a meeting in Pittsfield that's open to the public, a subcommittee. We'll hold a public hearing May the 21st, 6 p.m., and that will be in the City Hall chambers. This hearing is part of a 30-day review process that is required by the Department of Housing and Urban Renewal. So that if you're interested in that, you can certainly call Catherine Van Bramer at 413-499-9322. Again, government works if you get involved with government. And, if you don't, well, that's it. The city official, she's put out a road list. Please be advised the following roads are scheduled to be paved this summer. Backman Ave, Barker Road, Benedict Road, Train Ave, Curtis Terrace, Daniels Ave, Jason Street, Joseph Drive, Meadow Lane, Newell Street, Orlando Avenue, Ridge Avenue. The list does not include road work currently underway. Abbott Street, Acorn Brown, Cascade. Oh, boy, there's a whole list of them. But anyhow, look, this is important. I mean, that's important, too, but this is important. The Fishing Derby, Saturday, June 1st, 6 p.m. to 12 p.m. 15 trophies. It's the 32nd annual Harry A. Bateman Jimmy Fund Fishing Derby. It's just no licenses needed. It's a fish-free day, children or adults. And you can, it's really a wonderful thing. Dave's Sporting Goods is back, one of the supporters, along with a note of boat livery, and the proceeds go to the Jimmy Fund, Dana Faber. And I'll give you, this is a big long thing. I don't have a phone number, but this is ready. https://www.facebook.com/ Harry Bateman, BATEMAN Fishing Derby. There you go. Didn't come out very clear. And again, from Catherine. Catherine, there we go. Catherine put this out. The Pittsfield, this is the same. Block Grant. Community Block. I had another fishing derby one. I'll find it. I just want to say this too, for all the people who there it is. Oh no. For all the people who listen to the show, thank you very much. And we're having a pizza get together. I'll get you more information. I probably got it right here. 1 minute, please, and thank you. I was very serious when I about Congressman Neal comes on this program all the time. All right, PCTV, pizza. Eat some pizza, too. That's cool. Thursday, May 23rd at 6 p.m., Berkshire Hills Country Club. You can visit pctv.org/pizza for more information and to purchase tickets. Anything you can do to help us, we do have costs. We have real costs. And anything you can do, come to the pizza. It's a great time. And all the people, anybody who sells pizza basically is there. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for being involved with the city. Happy spring. The flowers are blooming. The buds are coming out. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the time. Enjoy each other. Enjoy your families. Because what I'm finding out is that life goes by very, very fast. Enjoy it. God bless. Take care of each other. Each other, that's all that we have. And it's about time that we set this vitriol aside. And I'm very, very, very concerned about the anti-Semitic behavior in this country. I've been to Auschwitz. I've been to Buchenwald. You don't want to ever see that ever again. God bless. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Keep on.